Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight, we talk about the impact of the economic conditions under which we live and how they are changing our ability to look forward to a comfortable retirement. In the past several years, a reverse mortgage has been touted as a way for retirees to eliminate mortgage payments, receive secure monthly cash payments, or a non-taxable lump sum of cash that does not have to be repaid as long as you live in your home. We have seen many prominent actors and even former senators promoting reverse mortgages. Tonight, we explore the pros and cons of reverse mortgages. Does it really help us to take charge of our lives and live a comfortable, stress-free financial existence later in our lives? To help us explore the positive, the negative, and the upcoming possible federal government changes to the existing procedure is my guest, Michael Clancy, a reverse mortgage specialist licensed by the Pennsylvania Department of Banking, who is a branch manager of Gateway Funding, with 25 years of experience in financial services. Welcome, Michael Clancy, who will help us to take charge of our lives and help us, perhaps, to eliminate financial pressures and stress.
Good evening, Allie. Nice to be with you.
Well, it really is a pleasure to have you. We've seen so much advertising about reverse mortgages, and they seem so appealing. And yet, we're not always sure what is a reverse mortgage, Mike.
Well, anytime you see those ads on TV, you have to be a little skeptical, although I'm happy to see Robert Wagner still among us. reverse mortgages aren't for everybody. They are designed to satisfy a need, and they are a wonderful product as long as you understand what you're doing and you understand the pluses and minuses.
Well, what are reverse mortgages for?
A reverse mortgage was originally designed to help senior citizens stay in their home. Plain and simple, it was designed to make the equity in the home available to you.
Now, does that mean that a person, it doesn't make any difference what their income is? If a person has a need for more sustained income, they can consider having a reverse mortgage. And exactly what is a reverse mortgage? I'm not quite sure. I've heard a lot of discussion and explanation, but maybe you can make it clear about what is a reverse mortgage and when does one consider it?
Well, simply put, a reverse mortgage is a mortgage that there are no payments. With a traditional mortgage, you write a check to the bank, you pay principal, and you pay the interest charge each month. With a reverse mortgage, there are no charges. However, the interest is accumulating, and your mortgage balance actually increases over time. The design of a reverse mortgage was to allow you to access the equity you've built up in your home without having a monthly payment to repay.
Well, let's give a concrete example. So suppose you've been living in your home, and the mortgage is paid off. And the home has been assessed at, let's say, $300,000. But in this market, it may be $250,000 or $200,000. How do you go about understanding what's going to be available to you and what are the costs involved of a reverse mortgage?
Reverse mortgage lenders are required to provide you with something known as a benefit summary. And there's an algorithm that's built into everyone's software that's the same for every lender that HUD has cooked up. The amount of cash available to you is roughly equal to your age, plus or minus a little percent. And they can estimate the value of your property and produce a 9-page document that shows you what the benefits available to you in the different mortgage scenarios. If you don't have a reverse mortgage, that's the best situation because you have nothing to pay off and you have the most cash available to you.
Well, when you say they look at your age, tell me what you mean by that. So if a person, let's say, is, 80 and they're considering a reverse mortgage, What do you mean they look at your age? I don't quite understand that.
Well, reverse mortgages, first of all, only for people 62 years of age or older. And it's a special mortgage just for senior citizens. The reason why your age is important is the reverse mortgages are a little bit like life insurance. The older you are, the more likely of mortality kicking in. So if they're making a reverse mortgage, the government algorithm is skewed to give you more money the older you are because the likelihood of you living 30 years when you're 62 is very real. The likelihood of you living 30 years when you're 80 is much less.
So what would that be in real-life figures, Michael?
In real-life figures, if you were, say, 65 years old and your home was, using your analogy, let's use of mathematics, $200,000,
right.
The amount of money available to you would be approximately 62-63% of the appraised value of the home. Not exactly your age, but it's a good rule of thumb.
So they take your age and measure it? By the
or multiply it, yes.
Multiply it.
Yes.
So give us a figure roughly.
On a $200,000 home, if you were 65 years old, you'd be probably, if you're taking a lump sum or a line of credit would be available to you, be somewhere in the neighborhood $135,000.
So the older you are you saying the older you are, the less you get or the more you get?
The more is available to
the
you.
The more is available. And how does somebody qualify for a reverse mortgage?
Well, what's really odd is with all the changes that have gone on in the mortgage industry over the last 5 years, the reverse mortgage is essentially the easiest to qualify for. If you're over 62 years of age, you own your own home, you're essentially approved, assuming you have equity in the home. There is no income check. There is no asset check. There is a credit check, but you can't be declined for poor credit scores. The credit check is just a check for outstanding mortgages or liens on the property.
And what about if you're let's say 65 or 70 and you want to think about the children, how do they enter into it?
Well, that's actually a good point. I'm glad you brought it up because the number one concern that comes up, and it's usually more for the children than the parents, we've all been brought up that we want to make life easier for our children and pass some of our assets or estate to them as after we pass away. And in many cases, the home is their number one asset and not a lot of senior citizens have. The property is always in your name. You always own it. And if there is equity left in the home, you do have the ability to sell the home or give it to the children. They can either keep it, sell it, pay it off, whatever they want to do. The number one objection we get, surprisingly, is from the children. The children don't want the parents to use up the equity because they feel it's their inheritance. Not every time, but enough times.
Well, If let's say a person dies and has, let's say they've had a line of credit of $150,000, and of that maybe $50,000 was used. Now, do the children have the opportunity to sell the house themselves and pay back the loan to the bank? How does that work?
Yes, absolutely. The property again is always in the name of the homeowner. So if they pass away and $50,000 is owed on the home on a reverse mortgage and the house is worth $200,000 and they don't want to keep the home, they sell the home off, pay the mortgage off. It's just like any other home. If you had a regular mortgage on your home and you wanted to sell it, you pay it off and keep the home or keep the proceeds.
Well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. This is Eleanor Bobrow, your host, and tonight we're talking with Michael Clancy, a reverse mortgage specialist licensed by the Pennsylvania Department of Banking. He's been a branch manager of Gateway Funding with 25 years of experience in financial services. And we're talking about the much-touted reverse mortgage that we see often touted on television as a very wonderful opportunity for seniors to live better in their later years. So who should not get a reverse mortgage?
Reverse mortgages are not for everyone. And that's the one thing people got to keep in mind. Reverse mortgages are really designed for people who want to stay in their home. If you think you may want to sell your home and move within a year or two, I would probably recommend you do not take a reverse mortgage. The number one reason why is, just like any financing of a home, there are transaction costs and closing costs, which you will not recover if you sell the home and pay it off in a year or a year and a half or so, unless, of course, your home went up in value. Now, if you have an emergency situation, unexpected medical bills, giant credit card bills, something that came up where you just have no other option, you might consider it. But generally speaking, if you think you may sell the home, move into assisted living, move in with a family member, and it's going to be within a year or so, I would say do not do a reverse mortgage.
So a reverse mortgage is not for everyone.
Yeah, you shouldn't use your home as a piggy bank per se. If you want to go on a trip to Europe in your golden years, people do reverse mortgages, but you want to be able to stay in the home. If you think you may want to sell the home in a short period of time, a reverse mortgage is not the best way to go.
So does a homeowner have to have an existing mortgage to get a reverse mortgage?
That's a good question. I actually got that in our last seminar. A woman raised her hand and said, I don't have a mortgage to reverse. if you don't have a mortgage on your home, that's really the best scenario because you have nothing to pay off, so all of the equity is available to you. Many cases where paying off mortgages where seniors have taken on debt in many cases to help out family members, and so they're really using it to pay off debt that's accumulated that's not theirs.
Well, what I would like to explore with you is just the procedure of going through a reverse mortgage. Who makes the does everybody qualify for a reverse mortgage who is 62 and over? Are there some indicators that maybe would disqualify them for a reverse mortgage? Because it looks so, Michael, it looks so appealing. It looks like, wow, it looks like it's, you know, for everyone. But as you just mentioned, for some people it's not. But I would like to go over some of the procedures with you. How do you really go about thinking about a reverse mortgage? What are the costs involved? And how do they get paid back? Because there's always a payback. We'll talk more with Michael Clancy about reverse mortgages when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
WDIY reaches a well-informed and passionate listening audience every day. Enhance your image with our community by becoming an underwriting supporter. Spread the word about your business in an uncluttered atmosphere of high-quality NPR and locally produced programming. Underwriting is an affordable way to reach the public radio audience, and it may be tax-deductible. To learn more, call 610-694-8100 extension 4 or visit wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobro, your host. And this evening, we're talking with Michael Clancy, a reverse mortgage specialist licensed by the Pennsylvania Department of Banking. He is a branch manager of Gateway Funding with 25 years of experience in financial services. And tonight, we're talking about reverse mortgages. And the question is, how do people get qualified for a reverse mortgage, Michael? Is there a particular procedure? Walk us through and give us an example of perhaps a family that you've dealt with.
All right. Well, Ellie, say someone's at home and they're watching a Robert Wagner tell them how reverse mortgages are on TV and they want to get more information about it. They can either get that information from that 800 number. Many people, because of the nature of the loan, want to deal with a local lender, so they'll find a local lender. And they'll schedule a time to meet and talk about how they work. From once they decide to move forward, one of the unusual things about a reverse mortgage is you can't just say, sign me up. The government requires that any potential reverse mortgage borrower take a government-approved counseling course from an FHA or Federal Housing Administration-approved counselor.
And what do they talk about in the counseling course?
It's really a wonderful thing in a way because the counselor wants to speak to the senior to make sure they understand all the aspects of the loan and that there are no surprises after settlement. At the end of the day, I work for a bank. I sell reverse mortgages. I get paid to sell reverse mortgages. The government wants you to speak to a counselor who has no financial interest in the transaction. So typically a lender, when they give you a what's called a benefit summary, they'll also give you three or four pages of counselors that you can pick from, anyone you want, and schedule your counseling course.
And what does the counselor want to make sure that you're aware of?
They want you to make sure that you're aware of all the nuances of the reverse mortgage, how they work, how that your mortgage balance will actually increase over time, not decrease. They want to make sure you're aware of all your different options and different mortgage products that are available to you.
Now, Michael, when you talk about the mortgage increasing, I'm not quite sure if we all follow that. So could you give us a concrete example of a couple perhaps that you've dealt with who maybe have a home valued at $300,000, mm-hmm. and they want to, they're perhaps 65 or 70, and they're investigating and exploring the idea of taking a reverse mortgage. Maybe their investments have gone bad in the market, and they're looking to get increased income besides Social Security. And what would be some of the questions, and how would you guide them?
Well, one of the things we discuss with a potential borrower is that the unique thing about a reverse mortgage, everybody likes the idea there are no payments, but there are not no payments because the lender is a nice person or very benevolent. There are no payments because the interest isn't, you're not paying it every month. It's actually being added to your loan balance. And that is the crucial thing to understand. Your mortgage balance increases month after month, year after year.
So let's say this couple has a $300,000 home, and they have qualified after going through the procedure, which I believe involves assessment. Is that correct?
Yeah, what we should do... you have a two-part question. As far as qualifying for reverse mortgage, it's actually very simple. Once you take a counseling course, your lender is going to ask you for information. You have to positively identify yourself, which is usually a Social Security card and a driver's license. They will you'll fill out an application form, which the lender will produce for you and sign about 60 pages of paper. And your home will be appraised by an FHA-approved appraiser. It's an FHA loan. Once they get the appraisal back, if the numbers change a little bit, they'll produce more new disclosure documents for you. You can't be declined because of credit scores. You cannot be declined because of your income. You cannot be declined because of your assets. If there's sufficient equity in the home and you're over 62, you're essentially approved.
What can they decline you for?
The things we, in 100% of the cases when people are declined, is there's insufficient equity. And insufficient equity is you have a home that's, again, say, worth $200,000. You have a mortgage balance that's 180, and you're 62 years old. The government has limits on how much they'll lend. And in that case, you wouldn't have sufficient funds. Now, there are cases where people can bring money to the table, pay off the mortgage, but they'd have to have money out of pocket for that.
Now, all of these assessments, they are all paid for by the applicant, so that the couple coming for investigating whether they qualify for reverse mortgage, they pay for the assessment and all of these investigations?
The two things that you would pay for up front would be the counseling course, which ranges from $75 to $150. If you have a hardship situation, many of the counseling firms will send the invoice to the lender, and the lender will pay it at closing. The only other item you would pay for up front would be the appraisal. You'd pay the appraiser directly.
Let's go back to the counseling question. Mm-hmm. What does the counselor want to make sure of when meeting with a couple who are applying for reverse mortgage? What's involved in the counseling?
The counselor wants to make sure that the mortgage person you're speaking with has to discuss with you all of the components of reverse mortgage and what your options are. And many counselors will also ask you, why do you want to do a reverse mortgage? What is your motivation? What are you thinking? Do you really have a need for it? They want to make sure you're taking reverse mortgage for the right reasons.
And what would some of the right reasons be?
The number one reasons we see reverse mortgages being taken for are extinguish a forward mortgage, a regular mortgage, pay off debt, pay off credit card debt, pay off car loans. But a reverse mortgage can also be used to supplement your monthly income. You can get a monthly check for as long as you're alive or for a fixed period of time.
Now, Now, what happens to the children? Let's say you've gone through the counseling course. What happens if you die and the children inherit the home? Do they no longer have access to the home, or can they offer to sell the home and repay the balance? How does that work, or do they lose the home altogether?
That's an excellent question, and it's the number one best feature in my mind of reverse mortgage. The reverse mortgage is non-recourse to your family or your estate. And what that means is that if the mortgage balance were to exceed the value of the home, the heirs, the children, or your estate is not responsible for repayment of that debt. And that's a key difference. Very, very important.
Put that in black and white figures.
Well, in black and white figures, suppose your parents are in their 60s and you all sit down and you discuss you're going to take a reverse mortgage, and you take the reverse mortgage and you're not making any payments. But suppose, because of the marvels of modern medicine, you live to be 95 years old. That mortgage is growing every single year. And suppose 95 years later, even though your home is increasing in value, let's suppose the mortgage balance exceeds the value of the home by, say, $100,000, just by virtue of the fact you lived there for 30 years and never paid a penny.
And when you say the mortgage balance exceeds $100,000, what exactly are you saying?
Meaning, say the home value now is $500,000 and the mortgage balance is $600,000. Now, in a case like that, the children or the heirs are going to look at the home and say, hey, wait a minute. I don't want to take this house. I'm going to have to write a check to the government for $100,000. Well, the unique thing about a reverse mortgage is they don't have to. But let's take the other perspective. Suppose the parents are in the home and 5 years later they want to sell it or move, or suppose they pass away unexpectedly and the children have the home. They can, and say again the home is worth $200,000 and the mortgage balance is $150,000, they can sell the home, pay off the mortgage.
$150,000.
Yeah, and keep the difference.
And keep the $50,000
if they're. And they also keep any capital appreciation that happens after they take the mortgage out.
So if the home was evaluated or assessed at $200,000, but when parents die, it now is, because the market is better, it's $300,000. They pay off the balance let's say $150,000, and if they can sell it for $300,000 or better, they are able to keep the profit. Is that correct?
Yep.
So long as they pay the bank back what was owed.
Yep. It's the same as a regular mortgage. If your parents had a home now and you went to sell it and they had a line of credit or a mortgage, they still have to pay that off also.
Now, so it sounds like it has something to be considered, particularly in this day and age. However, there are some things coming down the line, Michael, and I'm just wondering if you can tell us a little bit about what changes are in store with new government regulations coming up, I believe, at the end of January. Is there any inkling that you can give us as to what possible changes are coming down that might be either negative or positive?
Well, the government, I know they're here to help, but they rarely help the way we'd like them to. We've been advised by the Federal Housing Administration to expect changes after January 31st in the reverse mortgage program. What we've been told so far, and it hasn't been finalized as far as we know, is that they're looking to either have a complete moratorium or restrict the use of the fixed rate reverse mortgage, and they're probably going to lower the loan-to-value ratios that they currently have available.
When you say lower the value of the loan to
value,
give us an example of what you mean by that in figures.
Well, as we discussed earlier, the amount of cash available to you is usually equal, very close to your age. So if, for ease of mathematics, if you were 70 years old and you had a $300,000 home, the cash available to you is roughly 70% of that, or $210,000. Now they're talking about maybe reducing that. I don't know the number, but say maybe it's only $190,000. The other change they're talking about making is some kind of escrow for taxes and insurance, which has not been previously done. Right now, you don't escrow for tax insurance. You are responsible for paying your own tax and insurance, but they are looking for ways to escrow that like you will with a conventional mortgage.
Now, is there also something about the amount of interest that is being charged on? Is there a change being foreseen in that between fixed rate and non-fixed rate?
The fixed rates are a bit higher, but they're still at their lowest level I've ever seen them, which results in you getting more cash available. Fixed rates are 4.25% in that area. The adjustables are as low as 2.5%. I haven't the interest rates are pretty much float with the interest rate market. I haven't seen any proposed or change on that.
So that will be that there's nothing on the horizon that you can see.
Well, if interest rates trend higher for all mortgages, I'm sure reverse mortgages will, but I don't, the government doesn't set the rates.
So if given what you've explained to us, and that's been very helpful, would you say that everyone is should be interested, or who should really consider thinking about a reverse mortgage?
Well, the common perception is reverse mortgages are just for people in financial difficulty, and that's not necessarily the case. Many times people use reverse mortgages to pay for college education for grandchildren or children as opposed to co-signing a loan. Or on the flip side, we use them for paying off existing mortgages, credit card debt, car loans. And in many cases, people are using to live better. You can also use a reverse mortgage if you wanted to buy a second home. Take it out, buy a home in Florida where they're on sale, and have no payments. What could be better than that?
And you mentioned when we were talking earlier, before we went on the program, you mentioned a couple who purchased a home in Delaware.
Yeah. People aren't aware that a reverse mortgage, you can buy up to a four-family home, 1 to 4 family. It's a regular FHA loan. This particular couple is buying a home in Millsboro, Delaware. It's a 4-unit home, and they are going to live in one unit as a primary residence. You only put down roughly 50% of the purchase price, and the other 3 units, they're going to have income about $7,000 a month. They've essentially created their own annuity.
So there is so much there's many creative ways of using a reverse mortgage as well.
Yes, they're not just for poor people. Many financially savvy seniors are tapping the equity in their home because it's low-cost equity and there's no payments.
Well, I want to thank you, Michael Clancy, reverse mortgage specialist and branch manager of Gateway Funding, for helping us to take charge of our lives by helping us to understand that there are many considerations when thinking about the possibility of a reverse mortgage. Thank you for helping us to understand that there are pressures to make a decision shortly due to the coming new governmental regulations, and thank you for helping us to consider the choices available to us in order to live a stress-free, comfortable life in retirement. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.